Greet each one of you in Jesus' name this morning. It's a privilege on such a beautiful Lord's Day to be gathered together with my fellow brothers and sisters here at Kirkwood. It's a blessing to come together in the house of God. And after another week, we can set a day aside, a day of rest, to come and worship Him. For a message this morning, the title of my message is going to be Walking in the Light. You know, light is something that we very often take for granted. We're very used to light, and we have a lot of modern technology and conveniences that are surrounded by lights, and it's something that has definitely changed our culture, changed society over the last 100 years, over the Industrial Revolution. Light bulbs became very popular, and we have a lot of changes and iterations of that till we have now these LED lights, and we can light things up like it's daytime about anywhere at any time, and we can do a lot of things. We can do things at nighttime. We can drive safely down the road. We can stay up late and work on our projects or work at a computer or see what we're doing around the house. And it can be a blessing. There's probably some negative side effects that come along with that. But light is something that we're very used to. So maybe a question. So who invented light? Maybe who made the LED light bulb? I don't actually have the name for the inventor of that. We could go back a little bit. Thomas Edison. He was first known for making a light bulb. So was he the inventor of light? No. Light existed long before the light bulbs that we are familiar with that are hanging here from the ceiling. What are some lights that are not light bulbs? Well, if you go outside at night, we can see lights that are way off in the distance, just little lights. They're actually very big, but they look small because they're so far away. They're stars. Those are lights. What is the biggest light that you can think of? Maybe your dad has a big spotlight. He carries it in the back of his pickup. Is that the biggest light? Maybe there's the parking lot lights out here, or some of the beacons from a lighthouse or at an airport. Some of those used to have the lights that would go around in a circle at an airport. Those were big, powerful lights. But what is the biggest light that you can think of? What is giving everything light outside right now? One of the children? The sun. The sun is the biggest light shining here on this earth. You can turn a while in your Bibles to Genesis 1. We're going to start, as we look at this thing of light, we're going to start in Genesis. We're going to look at a number of different areas, some throughout the Bible, different ways that light is applied to us and how Jesus is the light. And you know, light is something that is all throughout the Bible. There's a lot of stories that are surrounded by light. You could think of the children of Israel, the pillar of fire that led them by night. That was a light in the sky. We can think about how Moses' face shone after he was in the presence of God. It seemed like he was giving off some sort of a light or a shiningness because of the presence of God. You could think about the star that led the wise men to Bethlehem. That was a star that I believe moved and led them to where Jesus was. There's also the parable of the 10 virgins. The 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The 5 foolish, their light had gone out, but the other 5, they had light. We think about Saul's conversion, where this light came down from heaven and Saul heard a voice. We also can think about Peter when he was freed from prison and an angel came and the light shone around about him and he woke up. And we're going to get to a couple of those stories in a little bit, but going back to the very beginning, in Genesis 1:1, the very first thing, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So there was no form. The earth did not have land and water and mountains and rivers. There was nothing like that, and it was just dark. There was no light. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And the Lord said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So the very first thing that God created as he was preparing this earth to be a place for people to dwell on, to inhabit, was light. And he divided the light from the darkness. Now you see, darkness is the absence of light. If the sun was covered over, if we had an eclipse and the electric went out, it would be dark. Or when the sun goes down at night, it gets dark. There is absence of light. But you can light up small areas by turning on a switch and a light bulb comes on. But God was the creator of light, and was the very first thing he made as he formed the world. He went on then to do stars, which filled the heavens before he covered the earth. Before life covered the earth, there was this darkness. And God just spoke, and he said, let there be light. And darkness fled before the power of his voice as he created the sun. Throughout scriptures, light represents a lot of different things. When we talk about light, we could be talking about life. We could be talking about truth. We could be talking about holiness. We could be talking about salvation. We could be talking about the presence of God. We could be talking about the Word of God. There's a lot of different ways when it says the light that lighteth every man, or the light of the Word of God, or the true light himself. Those are all different things, and we're going to take time to look at some of them here this morning. You see, just as physical light was necessary for creation, in order for creation, for man to live, light had to be there. Spiritual light is necessary for our souls. Without Christ, mankind remains in darkness. But thankfully, God has sent his son Jesus as the light of the world. He can light our souls. He can light our inner man, as we refer to it at times. So that is my first point. Jesus is the true light. You can turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1. Do that. We can have a little object lesson along here this morning. So we're going to pretend that Jesus is the light. John 1, 6 through 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he's the writer of the book. Then some came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He is in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Actually, that John might have been referring to John the Baptist there, but he's writing here and saying, there was a true light who lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And that light is Jesus. In John 8:12, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Even David in the Old Testament, Psalms 27:1, says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Jesus did not merely just bring light to the world. He is the light. He came and he was the light that was shining to the world. You see, there's a lot of other temporal things that seem to offer some light. There's things that we think will light us, or will bring us joy, or satisfy our inner void. And those may be pleasure and money, fame, religion without Christ, And the list goes on and on. We can sometimes think that those things will light our souls or take care of our inner man. Yet all of those eventually fade. They eventually fall away. They do not satisfy. And Christ alone is the only one who can come in and light our darkened heart. You remember in the beginning I said the sun was needed for man to live on this earth? The same way the Son of God in our hearts is needed for us to live in Christ. The second point I want to look at is, there's some of these are tied together fairly closely, but Jesus was the true light. The second one is the Bible is the light. In Psalms 119, verse 100, chapter 119, verse 105, it says, "The word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, some of you, if you're going outside at night, and I do not have a lamp exactly the style that they would have in the Bible times, but you would have known it was a small oil lamp. And so it would have had a wick, probably not a lot brighter than this, and would have carried oil. But today we would maybe grab a flashlight, right? We're going to go out, and if we're going out in the dark, we're going to try to find our way. If you're going to go a little longer and maybe do a little more exploring, you could do this. And then your hands would be free, and you could see where you're going, right? Well, so, see, the Word of God, the Bible we have here this morning, is exactly the same as this. The Bible is a light. My Bible is lit up because of my light, but would this, if you would go out in the dark, would this help you out? If I carried this Bible, could you see your way with just this? No. So what does it mean? Thy word is a light. Well, it comes back to that, the soul and spirit of man, and how that the Word of God shows us where we're going to go, or gives us helps us to see the path that we want to be on, and where we can be led by God, and how we are to live. You see, it gives us guidance and direction. The reason we wear a headlamp is because we want to follow a path. Well, this Word of God is a path for our spiritual life, and in the same way, just as a lamp in the Bible. These somewhat, but I think even more so, the old time lamps in the Bible did not light the path for miles ahead. They were very small. They were a lamp unto my feet. They provided an area of light, maybe 10 feet ahead, maybe 15 feet ahead. Some of these flashlights you can probably see 40 or 50 feet out, but you still cannot see a mile down the road. The same way for the Word of God here is it gives us enough of knowledge simply to take the next step. In the same way, God's Word is a guide like that, like a lamp is to us. When we open the Scriptures, we receive wisdom, comfort, correction, and direction. Not for all of what lies ahead of us, not for 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. We do not know what's going to come, but it's enough for us to take the next step. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet is enough to take the next step. The next point is that light reveals sin. And in John 3:20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light." You see, people who are doing bad things, they don't like to be caught in the light. Oftentimes, robberies happen at night. Oftentimes, there's a lot of corruption that will take place at night because sometimes that helps to hide them. And they don't. Other people cannot see what is taking place. The evil hateth the light. But the light reveals sin. So when we take this Word of God, it's like shining a flashlight on us, and we can see what is wrong in our hearts. It's something that our lights here cannot do. If you shined it on me, you couldn't see what's wrong with my heart. But the Word of God can reveal what is wrong with my heart. Turn to Acts 9. Now, this is a story about Saul, the conversion of Saul. And I do not believe that the light from heaven revealed to others around them his sinful condition. But there is something about this story that by the Lord stopping him and that light shining from heaven, Saul recognized his own sinful state. So in Acts 9, verse 1, and I'm going to read to verse 8, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughtering against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he find any of this way, whether there were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink." We're going to stop reading there. We know that the story goes on, and Ananias came and Saul found the Lord, and he went on to serve him. You see, light exposes the darkness, what darkness hides. So here, by the Lord stopping Saul on this road to Damascus by the light and also by his voice, Saul realized that he was on the wrong path, that he was doing something wrong. Something was not right in his life. And it's amazing how Saul did a 180 and he just turned around and went and started preaching the gospel from that point on. That doesn't always happen in our lives. Sometimes I guess we're just a little too stubborn that we don't let the light and the work of the Lord in our lives, but we tend to maybe be a little bit slower. But in the same way today, when the word of God is preached, sin is revealed. When a preacher stands up here and he preaches from the Bible, and we read from the Bible, sometimes it brings that, the light from this word brings that conviction into your heart and into your life. You may realize as the preacher preaches that you have pride, or bitterness, or lust, or unforgiveness, or rebellion, and the list goes on. It's by reading from this light that it brings that conviction into our hearts, and we realize that. So that's part of the reason, some of the different reasons we gather together regularly on a Sunday morning. Some is to worship the Lord. Some is to have the light of the Word of God work in our own hearts and lives. Many reject the light because they love darkness more than the truth. But conviction is not meant to destroy us. It is meant to bring us to repentance. We need to have action. When we find that light reveals darkness in our soul, we need to repent. We need to be called to action. Just the same way as a doctor must first reveal the sickness before he can help heal it. And in the same way, God needs to reveal it. But if you just went to the doctor and he just said, "Well, I'm sorry, but you have a ear infection or you have strep throat." If he just told you that, would that do anything for you? No. But he must diagnose it, reveal it to you, and then you can make choices and maybe take pills or something to help you get better. But you need to take that next step. Same way God reveals it to us, and then we need to make the next step towards cleansing and restoration. You see, then as we are at that point, we as Christians are then called to walk in the light. 1 John 1:7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." And Psalms 18:28, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Salvation is more than an experience. You see, if Saul on the road to Damascus, he heard from God, he saw the light, maybe he even repented, but he did not change his ways, we would have hardly called that a conversion experience. So salvation is more than an experience, it is a walk. We are called to walk in the light of Jesus. We are called to walk in his light. What does walking in his light mean in 2026, today? Walking in his light, it means living honestly before God. It means endeavoring and obeying his word. It means that we are open to correction from a brotherhood, from people that we go to church with. It means turning away from sinful practices, from something that we did that we knew was wrong. Saul was persecuting the Christians, and he came to the realization that that was wrong, and he stopped, and he turned around, and he did it differently, and he went forth, and he preached to them salvation. And that the change was so radical that for a while the Christians were scared of him because he had just been putting them in prison and maybe even putting them to death. And now he's saying that he loved them and he wanted them to come to know the Savior that he knew. And so his walk was very different from conversion. And then he turned around and he walked the other direction. If a believer cannot enjoy fellowship with God while walking in darkness, the closer we walk to the light, the more our lives will reflect Jesus. The closer we get to him, the more our life will reflect it. And that reminds me of a children's song about how this little light of mine, and sometimes we just go through it and we sing it, where we do this little light of mine, and then hide it under a bushel means that we would be like hiding our light, not letting others, or maybe it's first, won't let Satan blow it out. That would be completely blowing out the light and not even allowing Christ in our lives. And then we'll let it shine till Jesus comes. Why don't we take the time to sing that song right now? So we're going to do this little light of mine, won't let Satan blow it out, hide it under a bushel, and then let it shine till Jesus comes. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Candle in the mirror there or not, but as I said, the closer we walk to the light, the more our lives reflect Jesus. You see, we are not lights in and of ourselves. Jesus Christ is the light. But yet we as Christians are to shine. So my last point is we're called to walk in the light. The next point is Christians are to shine. Turn a while in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verses 14 and 16. Ye are the light of a world, of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So as we go through life and we endeavor to follow the word of God, and out of that and out of our life come these good works. We were maybe kind, maybe we're helpful, we do good deeds for other people. Is that so we can have glory? Is that so people can thank us, so people can come to us and tell us how much they appreciate about us? No, it needs to be because we are endeavoring to reflect Christ. Christ is the light, and we are just the reflection. I have another question for the children. So there is the large light of daytime, which is the sun, but sometimes there is nighttime, and it's actually fairly bright outside because there is a lesser light that is shining. It's still pretty big. What is the light that shines at night that is not the stars? The moon. The moon shines at night. But do you know that the moon does not produce any light of its own? What does the moon do? It reflects the sun. And think about that analogy, the sun and the moon, the same way of Christ and us. We are to be as the moon and reflecting the light of Christ to everyone else that we meet. It just simply reflects, the moon simply reflects the sun. Likewise, Christians are to reflect Christ. The dark world needs believers who shine in every area, not just when it's visible to others, but in every area. We need to shine when we're at home. We need to shine when we're at work. We need to shine when we're at church or anywhere else in our community, at the store. There's no exceptions for that. We need to be this mirror, this reflection of Christ. And a little light can be seen from a far away, can be seen from far away when things are dark. And that goes back to some of what's written here in Matthew 5. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. If it's a dark night out and there's a light on a hill, you can see that from very far away. The same, we are to be this light or this beacon, not the light of our own self, but this reflecting light to all of the world around us. And as the world continues to get darker, when there's less truth, when there's less knowledge of God in society around us, then we become brighter. People can see us from farther away. As I said before, darkness is the absence of light. So if it's dark in this community, if there's not a lot of witness of Christ in this community, it's because of us, because our lights have dimmed. Because if our lights stay bright, even as things around us get darker, we will still be noticeable. Never forget, someone around you is watching your testimony. Someone needs that hope that only Christ can give. And it may come from through you as a reflection of Jesus Christ. The next point, you can turn in your Bibles to Revelation 22. And as I said, this world in some ways seems to continually get darker. Let's never forget that evil abounded from all of, ever since the fall of man. And there was always sinful people. There was always sin around. There was always darkness. And there's been, it seems to sort of ebb and flow. There was some very dark times in history. It does seem, though, as today, that less people know about God, less people are sharing Jesus with others. But someday, in Revelation 22, verse 5, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So someday, if we are a Christian, we will be at a place where there will be no more darkness. darkness will be completely done away with. And so for the children of God, for you this morning, for you and me, there is a brighter day coming. Because what did I say back in the beginning? That God himself is the light, and he came to earth and came to the universe and created a sun to light the earth so that man could be here. Someday we get to dwell in the very presence of the creator of light. God himself, who is light, the creator of light. We are just a reflector, but someday we get to dwell in that presence. And when that presence of God is there in heaven, there will be no darkness, no night. It will be completely done away with because God himself is the light. And that no darkness means there will be no more sin, no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain. None of those things. They will all be done away with because that has to do with darkness. And God himself will be the light. The Lamb himself will be the light forever. What a glorious promise for those who know Christ. So the question for each of us here today that we have to ask ourselves is, are you walking in darkness or are you walking in light? That's one question we can ask. The other question we could ask is, well, if we're walking in the light, are we reflecting the light? Sometimes we have Jesus Christ here and we are this mirror, but we get all smoked up so that it doesn't reflect through the mirror, doesn't shine out. And I'm not sure how long you can be in that state where you're in the presence of God but not actually reflecting God to others. Eventually, your light will go out. But are you walking in darkness or are you walking in the light? And Jesus still calls sinners to himself. He wants us to change. He wants us to live changed lives. He wants us to be this reflection of him. Ephesians 5:14 says, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Be a changed person. Be somebody different. Come to the light today. Walk in the light today, and let your light shine for the glory of God. Just another song here in closing. I'm going to read it as a poem. "The light of the world is Jesus." And we're thinking about this being Jesus. "The whole world is lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding, and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus." Let's kneel together for a word of prayer.